on today's episode of the Law of Tech podcast.
The number one use, I think, for social media for law students or legal professionals would be to build their personal brand, show off their value, their knowledge, their experience, and allow them to distinguish themselves from others. I think that would be the ideal way to use social media. I realize that can be a little bit scary for people, but I do think that, especially in this world that is ever more digitized, ever more seemingly connected and disconnected at the same time, I think that being able to build your personal brand and establish it is a great way for you to build connections, relationships, and establish a way for you to make a mark on this world.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Law of Tech podcast. For this episode, I am joined by corporate lawyer and legal tech enthusiast Colin Levy to talk about a topic that usually isn't a topic discussed much with Colin, namely the power of social media for law students and legal professionals. Colin, welcome to the show. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure for me as well.
Now, before we actually delve deeper into the topic of this episode, maybe to give a bit of background, I didn't really introduce you fully yet. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you started your career off and how the journey has been moving from where you started to where you are now?
Absolutely. So I've been an in-house lawyer for the past 11 years. And, you know, when I first started my journey into the legal space, I really was kind of interested in how the law intersects with other functions and other disciplines. And that's what drew me to law, was the fact that it touches upon so many different areas. And specifically, I really was aiming to work in-house because of the fact that when you work in-house, you are really closely tied to the business. And that means that you have to sort of be learning about a lot of different things at different times as needs arise and as problems arise. And so over the course of my career working in-house, I have really, I think, learned a lot about myself and what it means to be a lawyer, and also what it means to bring value to your role and what it means to bring value to the business that you're working for. And I saw technology potentially playing a really key role in how lawyers can bring more value to their role, be more data-driven, and provide better and more strategic services to those that they seek to serve.
So that's really, really interesting. You said that you were always really interested in how the law intersects with other fields. Before you moved to the topic of legal tech and really got interested in that, what were some of the other particular topics intersecting with law that you found interesting?
So there were a bunch of them. You know, one of the areas that I found interesting was I actually almost wanted to become a tax lawyer because I enjoyed tax classes and law school, and I enjoyed sort of the quantitative and sort of systematic nature of some of the tax law topics. But the other areas that the law sort of touched upon that I found really interesting were obviously its connection with technology, but its connection as well with all sorts of things, including transactions when companies seek to buy or sell parts of themselves or merge with other companies. There are just so many different areas that the law sort of touches upon. I find it interesting, especially during those moments when there is tension between the law and an area, because a certain area has in some ways perhaps evolved past where the law is, and technology certainly is one of those areas.
Yeah, definitely. And regarding legal tech, this is something that happened gradually, I guess, the interest that you developed. Is there any particular point in time when you realized this really has potential for the legal industry and for legal practice?
So that's an interesting question. You know, when I started sort of thinking about going to law school, I worked for a year in New York for a big law firm as a paralegal prior to law school, creating e-discovery databases. And that experience really showed me, I would say, the power of technology within the legal space. And it kind of surprised me a little bit, and also was disappointing to see how few lawyers were interested in the technology itself, but were simply just interested in kind of what the technology allowed them to see and do and act upon. And then when I got to law school, you know, there was very little talk about technology. And I found that curious, considering nearly every other industry had been impacted by technology and benefited from a range of different technological tools. And so I really took it upon myself to want to learn more about it. And I thought one of the best ways for me to do so was to reach out to those who are doing work in the space, either teaching law students about technology, writing about technology and its relationship with the law, and or those who are actually creating technological products for use by lawyers or legal professionals. And so through those experiences, I was able to really learn a lot, still am learning a lot, and also share what I've learned with others and help kind of broaden the community of people interested in the space and overall helping try to move the legal industry into, I won't say the 21st century, I think that's a little too ambitious, but at least to the 20th century from where it had been living for such a long time, which was, you know, the 19th century.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. And it also really brings me actually to, I guess, the actual topic of this episode, talking about social media. But now you've also been named one of the top legal tech influencers, especially also in social media. I'm just interested and curious, because when I think of an influencer, I immediately, I guess, have some stereotypical thoughts about what that actually means. I'm just interested to hear from you. What is it like to be a legal tech influencer, and what does it mean to you?
That's an interesting question, because I don't really, you know, while yes, I've been named one, I don't really see myself as an influencer, although I guess some others regard me as such. I kind of just see myself as someone seeking to build a community that is focused on improving legal services and how they're delivered and making the legal industry be more client-centric. And, you know, I am but one of many who are seeking to try to do this work and build this community and broaden the community so that it's more inclusive and diverse as well. And so, you know, while I'm honored that others think of me as an influencer, I really just see myself as someone who has a passion for building relationships and building communities.
I think also one of the things you specifically mentioned in some of your posts is how important it is to build a community and to build relationships with others. I think it's really valuable to also do that. And I think it's not only valuable to people in the legal tech industry, but I think far beyond. That's how I also came up with the idea of talking about this topic, about how law students, legal professionals can actually use social media to their benefit to really distinguish themselves from other legal professionals and law students. And I think this is even more important now, perhaps, because there's so much competition, not only within law schools, but also among or within the legal profession among legal professionals. Have you seen anything change in that regard from the time when you studied law to now? Do you think there's been any shift in this extremely competitive environment?
So I think, you know, it's an interesting question. I do think that there has been more attention paid to, I think, the toll of working as a lawyer. I think there's been more attention paid to, you know, the mental health struggles of those within the profession. But just because there's been more attention paid, I don't necessarily think that there's been a lot of action taken to address those very serious issues. But I think we are starting to see more actions being taken in that regard.
And in terms of, like I just, for example, mentioned, the ability for law students to distinguish themselves from others, and also legal professionals to distinguish themselves from others. Do you believe that social media, and to what extent also especially, do you believe that so using social media and posting on social media is a way for law students and legal professionals to show their unique qualities, to show their experiences. I don't know if there's like maybe a distinction between legal professionals and law students in this regard, if you would see this differently for both. What are your thoughts on that?
So I absolutely think that there is a lot of potential for social media to help law students and or those seeking to make inroads within the industry to distinguish themselves and to build relationships with others. And so I really think that one of the key sort of things people overlook when using social media is that it's a mistake to think that the only way to make those kinds of connections is to create a post of your own. Certainly that is a great way of doing so, but the way I started in a social media and the way I would suggest others do so as well is to simply just look up and comment on posts made by others who are prominent in the field. And don't be afraid to share your thoughts, because the likelihood is that you may think no one shares your thoughts on a certain subject, but you may likely be wrong. And there likely will be others who share similar thoughts to yours. And that's how you're able to build connections with others and build relationships, is through sharing your thoughts and connecting with others who share similar thoughts. And if you are feeling particularly ambitious or open to it, I certainly encourage you to create posts of your own, because we all have so much to learn and gain from one another, and we have more in common with each other than we're different. And so I really think it's important to recognize that and understand that relationships are built upon commonalities and trust, and sharing your thoughts on social media can be a great way to build those kinds of relationships.
And I think particularly for people really new to using social media, it can be in a way scary to actually interact with others, because sharing your thoughts online can be a good experience, but I guess it can also cause a debate online, and not everybody feels comfortable with that. And one of the topics you also address a lot on social media with you is that the concept of imposter syndrome. Are there any particular tips and tricks you would have for people to get over that fear of sharing their knowledge and sharing their expertise, because they simply think they might not actually have that?
Right. So I definitely have posted about imposter syndrome and feeling that way before. And I think it's fairly common to feel that way among different people. And I think the way to overcome it is to sort of recognize that we're all learning, we're all imperfect, and the fact that we don't know everything is simply a sign of us being human, because no one knows everything. And again, as I said before, the likelihood of a thought you have being shared by someone else is pretty high. And so, you should be encouraged by the fact that, and that, there's a lot to be gained, I think, from recognizing the fact that we're all learning, and that the likelihood is there are people there who likely will benefit from hearing from you, and likewise, you'll benefit from hearing from them. And so I don't think it's, you shouldn't give in to your fear of posting. That being said, I do think it's important to recognize the differences between different platforms. LinkedIn, I think, is a platform that is best suited for posting and commenting, particularly in a substantive way. I also am quite active on Twitter, but I do think that it's important to recognize Twitter tends to be fairly unfiltered and allow for a full range of debate. So if you're going to be posting on Twitter, expect there to be a little more candid sharing of thoughts, and perhaps some people who may not necessarily share their thoughts in the kindest way. That being said, there definitely is a very vibrant, supportive community, at least of legal tech folks on Twitter. And so I think that connecting with those folks there is definitely a benefit to you if you're interested in legal tech. But if you're just starting out using social media, my advice would be to start with LinkedIn.
Have you got any examples of how using social media has perhaps opened doors in your career?
Absolutely. It's opened so many doors over the course of my career, and still is opening doors. I remember once I was posting about my thoughts, I believe it was on contract management. And I actually was asked I got a direct message from someone and was asked to be a speaker on a panel speaking about contract management tools. And it was a great experience. I just was frankly humbled and honored to be on that panel with some, you know, really highly experienced, pretty prominent people. And it just was such a cool experience to be asked to do that. And that's the kind of opportunity that that continues to come my way. And I'm very grateful for them as a result of my activity on social media and what I'm able to share with others. And I think that's something really important for people to recognize, is the fact that you sharing your experience allows for others to see your value and what you bring to the table and may open doors you didn't even realize existed. Another example I can give is I had posted, I think it was on Twitter actually, about how much I enjoy speaking to law students. And a professor reached out and said, "Hey, I'd love for you to speak to their class about your career and what it means to be a lawyer who is tech savvy and working with legal tech tools and how they can get involved in the space." And that was just such an awesome experience. And I love speaking to classes like that because the students really are so invigorated by their interest. And it's really encouraging for me to see that and to participate in a discussion with them.
That's amazing. And I think that these doors, of course, could also open to others who would maybe show what they're doing. And because there's so many people that are doing a lot of interesting things and amazing things. Now, I was wondering in terms of the actual practical side of using social media, is there a particular strategy that you follow in posting online, in sharing your thoughts, what type of content you share? Do you have any strategy that you follow for that?
So that's a great question. And yes, I certainly have worked on refining my strategy with regards to posting. So usually the strategy I typically follow is I will use Twitter to test out ideas, meaning that I will tweet something that's fairly short about an idea, and based off the response I get to that idea, I may or may not turn it into a post on LinkedIn. So that's a kind of an interesting way that I use to judge audience and receptiveness to ideas. In addition, I tend to stay fairly, I would say, narrow to kind of the types of things that I post about. I tend to post a little bit about mental health, a little bit about building community and treating each other kindly. And I focus a lot on legal tech and kind of understanding what that space is and focusing on different areas such as contract management, litigation prediction, use of data, things like that. And so I really, you know, think that it's important that when you're posting to do a couple things. Number one, be consistent. For example, I post every day. I don't think you necessarily need to post every day. But if you wish to, whatever timing you come up with, be consistent in that. That allows people to kind of know when they can expect to see content from you and can also rely on seeing that content from you on a periodic basis. I'd also suggest, being specific with regards to what you post about. You know, there's a lot of different topics that you could write content about, but really write about things that you feel comfortable with talking about and that you have experience in. And for me, as I mentioned, that's a narrow subset of topics, and I think others would do well to keep it relatively narrow as well. In addition, the last sort of bit of my strategy and another tip I would give is, you know, others who post about things that you find interesting, you know, think about why you find what they post interesting. Is it because of what they say? Is it because of how they say it? Is it some combination of the two? You know, use that to kind of better inform your strategy and how you post and create content.
Now, you've also worked a lot within law firms. To what extent do you believe that using social media for law firms, for example, is a useful tool to use?
So I've worked a little bit with law firms. I haven't done a whole lot of work with them, but I do think that from what I've observed about law firms and their use of social media, I do think that they tend to be very kind of dry and just very specific about, you know, hey, we accomplished this deal with the help of these lawyers, or we just, you know, accomplished this or did that. And I think that's fine. But I really think that the way to build connections with potential clients through social media is to kind of show the human side of you and to show kind of what you like to do, what your interests are, you know, show a little personality. And I often think that law firms tend to be, tend to shy away from wanting to show any type of personality. And I think that that is too bad. I do think there's a lot to be gained from law firms kind of showing a little bit about their culture and their personality. And that doesn't mean, you know, posting sort of ridiculous, you know, trivial things. You can still post something that is, that speaks highly about your firm, but do so in sort of a more fun and intriguing way rather than just sort of posting something in a news article type of way, because, you know, you can read that in the, you know, in a magazine or, you know, on a, or on a news website. And with people's limited attention spans, you know, I think it's important to try to get a little bit of their attention through unique ways. And so I do think that it would be interesting to see more firms take a more personal human approach to their use of social media.
I think that's really interesting, like adding a human approach to a social media message. I can imagine that's really hard. How do you manage to add like the human touch to a message without actually interacting directly with people in person?
Yeah. So the way I go about it is I just, you know, anything that I say in social media is exactly the same thing I would say on a podcast or to you in person or over the phone. And so I think that authenticity is how you're able to show your kind of human side. And that just simply means not shying away from who you are, what you like, what your personality is like. And it's, I understand it's very easy to say that, and it's much harder to do so. And I think I've been able to do so simply just by being unafraid of being me and sharing my thoughts, who I am, and letting people into a little bit of my life. Obviously not, you know, hearing anything too deeply personal, what have you. But I think, you know, sharing a little bit of who you are can go a long way.
How have you moved from building relationships with people within your community from an online basis to an offline basis, or not necessarily only through social media?
So the way I've gone about it is I simply just, you know, have connected with people through the content that they've posted or I posted. And then I've just gone ahead and reached out to them and said, hey, I'd love to have a chat with you about what you're up to, about what you're doing. I really find it super interesting. And that's how I've been able to, I think, build relationships with people. And admittedly, over the past year and a half, because of the pandemic, I've had to do so primarily through Zoom. But, you know, to the extent that I'm able to meet someone in person live, you know, the better, because I think there's something to be said for those kind of just in-person meetings. And it's really been unfortunate that we haven't been able to do so as a result of this pandemic. And hopefully that will be able to be, we'll be able to go back to doing that sooner rather than later.
Now, it's one thing, of course, to create such a relationship. How do you engage with your own community online? You say you react to specific people that you follow. Is there a particular way in which you engage with the community that you have built to keep them part of the community?
Yeah. So, you know, I comment on their posts. I will send a DM on occasion to just check in and see how they're doing. I think particularly in this time when we're all working remotely, it's important to be cognizant of the relationships we have and do our best to maintain them even at a distance. And so that's how, and so I do so through just sending, you know, direct messages either on LinkedIn or Twitter or email, and just to check in and see how things are going, and always be offering ways in which perhaps I can be of help if I can be and if I have the time to do so.
I'm wondering, of course, talking about legal innovation and legal tech a little bit, to what extent do you believe that using social media has also impacted the legal innovation landscape itself?
That's an interesting question. I would say that social media has allowed for a more robust sharing of ideas and of concepts and of tools that have been created. And I think as a result, people now are able to gain access to more information quicker about things that are taking place, things that are being created or being tested. And I think that the legal industry overall has been at least some of those within the industry have been able to gain and benefit from this easy access to information ideas that are taking place with regards to creating new tools, new workflows, new ways of doing things. That being said, I do think there remains a great deal of people who remain unaware and or resistant to some of these adaptations or inventions or creations. And what often happens in that case is the client ends up knowing about the idea or the creation before the lawyer or law firm or legal department does. And that sometimes can be an issue because the client often will be expecting their legal resource to be up to date and be attuned to the current dynamics of the world at large.
No, that's interesting. I actually had an episode, which by the time that I think this episode will be shared, has already been published, with Michelle DeStefano on how to shift this mindset within the traditional legal practice. But I'm interested to hear from you. How do you think we could actually solve this resistant mentality?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the way that I think about it is that the way you overcome that resistance is, instead of telling someone like a lawyer that they're doing something wrong, show them how they could be doing something better and educate them on that new way. Rather than take an approach of, you know, you're not doing something right, rather take the approach of, I understand how you're doing something. I get that. I understand why you think it works for you. But let me show you something else that perhaps could work better and let me know what you think of it. You know, you want to kind of, I think, educate and also give the person whom you're trying to get to change some degree of control over the process as well.
I think that one particular topic that I think is really interesting in terms of both the legal innovation landscape, but also law students, is that we actually don't learn at all about the types of jobs that are available, alternative legal careers that are available. But looking at the landscape now, there are so many other opportunities, but law school doesn't teach us, or at least maybe some law schools do, but generally they don't. And there are only very few platforms that we can actually use to, or law students could actually use to get a better understanding of what opportunities are out there. Now, I think that social media has played a role in this, but I'm interested to hear your thoughts on how social media has perhaps influenced this shift towards alternative legal careers.
Yeah, so I think you're exactly right in that law schools tend to promote just one type of career path. And I think that social media has allowed for people to really see a full range of different types of jobs and careers and tasks that you can do within the legal ecosystem that you weren't really taught about or shown when in law school. And social media, I think, has done a marvelous job of helping to show these different pathways, because the problem often is these pathways aren't immediately clear to people. And some of them don't even strike some as possible paths for them at all. And I think that social media can do a really good job of illustrating and highlighting these pathways and these types of jobs and types of work that can be done that are interesting, that are unique, and that are far from your typical lawyer job.
Now, looking more generally at the legal tech landscape, where would you like to see social media helping in creating a path for legal innovation in the future?
Yeah, I think that social media really would be would benefit from becoming a more collaborative platform where people can share and exchange ideas and engage in a substantive learning process about different ideas and concepts and things that are being done. I think that LinkedIn is moving in that direction, or at least trying to. Twitter, I think, on the other hand, hasn't really changed much, I'd say, over the past few years, and remains kind of a little bit of the Wild Wild West in terms of ideas and people's thoughts. But nevertheless, I do think that social media platforms that encourage more collaboration among different people, sectors, industries could really be of benefit to the legal industry and frankly to other industries as well.
Now, looking towards the future, and I think this is also maybe a good point to wrap up the episode, where would you like to see the use of social media used by law students and legal professionals head?
So the number one use, I think, for social media for law students or legal professionals would be to build their personal brand, show off their value, their knowledge, their experience, and allow them to distinguish themselves from others. I think that would be the ideal way to use social media. I realize that can be a little bit scary for people, but I do think that, especially in this world that is ever more digitized, ever more seemingly connected and disconnected at the same time, I think that being able to build your personal brand and establish it is a great way for you to build connections, relationships, and establish a way for you to make a mark on this world.
Now, for anyone wanting to reach out to you or to check out your website, what should they search to do so?
Absolutely. Well, on LinkedIn, I'm under my name. My website is colinslevy.com. That's colinslevy.com. I also am on Twitter at clevy_law. That's clevy_law. Those are probably the three best places to find me.
For now, Colin, thank you so much for joining me. I think I've learned so much from this episode, and it's given me some inspiration to think differently, I think, about how I post online. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. This was really an honor and a pleasure, and thank you again.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Law of Tech podcast. If you want to make sure you keep up to date with the show and never miss out on an episode, be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform of choice and follow the Law of Tech on social media. If you enjoyed the show, please give it a rating or review as it helps others discover the show. And don't forget to share it with your network. For now, have a great day, and I'll see you in the next episode of the Law of Tech podcast.